Your local children's hospital is full of superheroes. Superhero patients. They wear gowns instead of capes and often fight evil on a microscopic level. And just like the doctors, nurses, and staff, you can help decimate illnesses and enemy foes for sick and injured children by gaming. Join Extra Life, a community of 50,000 gamers that play games and heal kids. Register at extra-life.org.
The Geek Cave, brought to you by Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from your past so you can look rad today. Gamefly, video games delivered. And GameStop, power to the players. Hey, nerds, we understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Ken Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome to another edition of Geek Cave Podcast Gaming. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
I'm Chad.
Oh, video games, you can do no wrong, except for all the times that you do just that. So, let's go ahead and thank our sponsors before we get into this hellish landscape of a segment. We want to thank Gamefly, Video Games Delivered, and they have delivered me some wonderful memories lately, and some not so wonderful. I recently played Maneater.
But...
Maneater.
The Hall & Oates song?
No, but I do make a reference to that in the Twitch
stream.
Whoa,
here she comes.
Yes. Yeah, if you find Geek Cave Plays on Twitch or on YouTube, we did play a solid half hour of Maneater, and I hated it. But it's good that I didn't buy it. I got it for Gamefly, and that's one of the options that you have through Gamefly is rent games that you're kind of unsure about. They send it to your house. You send it back when you're done, and you can get a free trial right now at geekcavepodcast.com. Just click on the link at the top of the screen. Also, thanks to GameStop, Power to the Players, and Shirtosaurus, the OG Geek Cave Podcast sponsors, digging up clothing from your past so you can look rad today. So, I'm not going to talk any more about Maneater. That was terrible. I am going to talk about a few good games.
But the woman is wild. Ooh.
Wow. I've got a lot.
I don't bring much to the gaming segment, but when you start talking about music, damn it, I'm there with lyric references.
No, well, speaking of you being the music guy, we actually got into a little bit of music talk with our guest that I interviewed earlier this week.
We have a guest?
Oh, yeah, let's go ahead and bring him in. Joining us is a voice actor that you definitely know the work of, Steve Downes. You might better know him as Master Chief from the Halo series. Steve, thank you very much for taking some time with me.
My pleasure, Darren. I'm thrilled to be on with you.
So take our audience through your biography a little bit, because I know you do radio work, and I know you've obviously done the Master Chief work. How did those two things kind of happen, coincide?
Well, as usual with those kind of things, Darren, it's fate and happenstance and just a weird connection. But yeah, my background has been radio since I was about 18 years old. I've been involved in one radio station or another, from a college station on up through, you know, the big leagues. But I just fell in love with it. I would, you know, my first love was music and rock and roll and playing rock and roll. And when I was a kid, you know, I was in bands and all that stuff and played drums and guitar and whatnot. And you know, that was sort of my, you know, by the time I went to college, that was, you know, I had some weird notion of, you know, wanting to be a rock and roll star. Well, that didn't work out. But I wanted to stay close to music and figure out a way that I could make a living that involved music, and radio seemed to be an obvious sort of connection there. So I went to work for the college radio station in Dayton, Ohio, at the University of Dayton. And I just got the bug at that point and was smitten with radio and stayed with it ever since. And then as a result of that, got involved and really started to develop a love for radio production and the idea of putting together, you know, initially you were putting together commercials and that kind of thing, but I just loved that aspect of it. From that, by the time I got out to Los Angeles, which would have been in 1981, I started to then see the benefits of doing voiceover. So from radio production to radio production voiceover, you know, that took off, especially when I was in LA. And then when I got back to Chicago in the early 90s, continued my voiceover career along with radio at The Loop and then later at The Drive in Chicago. Bungie, who was the originators of Halo, was based in Chicago. And Marty O'Donnell, who was the guy who cast all the voices in the Bungie games for Halo and did a lot of the music and all that, he used to listen to me on the radio and contacted me one day about, you know, wanting to, you know, he had a game that, you know, would I be interested in doing the voice for. It wasn't Halo. It was another small little PC game that we worked on and I had a minor role in. And then about a year later, he called back and said, well, we have this other game and we think you might be right for this particular character. That turned out to be the role of Master Chief, and off to the races 20 years later. You know, here we are.
Wow. Now we'll get into Master Chief in a minute, but we've got a music guy on the podcast. So I have to ask, favorite rock and roll band.
My personal favorite rock and roll band is Little Feat. I've been a huge fan of them. There's from the first time I heard them back in the 70s. They never got a whole lot of radio play, but I just love them. So they're sort of my go-to, you know, and when somebody asks me that question, I mean, I think it's hard to pin down, you know, when they ask, well, who do you think is the greatest of all time? That to me is just a subjective question. But right. When you ask what my personal favorite is, it would be The Feat.
All right. Awesome. I'll have to check them out. I know that Justin, our music guy and our comic guy, he's probably got much more of an encyclopedic knowledge than I do. So he might be freaking out at that reference. He might not, but
he might not. That's right. Well, hopefully I've turned you on to him, and their early work especially is pretty good.
Awesome. So when you end up with this role of Master Chief, do you have any inkling as to how big that's going to become? Because Master Chief, for a lot of gamers, is kind of like a pop culture icon.
You know, no, Darren, not only did I not have an inkling of it, I don't think anybody involved at Bungie had an inkling of what this was going to become. I'm not even sure that they were prepared to do a second game. Marty would, or Joe Staden would know the ins and outs of that. But when I went in to record for Combat Evolved, there was no thought of like this was going to be a continuing role. And to be honest with you, I recorded Combat Evolved in about 2 days and forgot all about it. You know, it was not something that was on my radar after that until many months later. And you know, some weird things happened. It was like, oh my God, this is a huge, because I wasn't a gamer. So, you know, I wasn't connected to that world other than voicing this character. And, so yeah, it was many, many months later that I realized that we had a tiger by the tail here. And then they made plans, you know, to start doing Halo 2. So, it's been a wild ride.
You say you weren't a gamer then. Have you played any of the games since then?
I've attempted, Darren, but I, you know, there used to be a meme on the internet. I don't know if they're still doing it, called Master Chief Sucks at Halo. And I don't think it necessarily referred to me, but it applies. I suck at Halo. I just don't have whatever that thing is, you know, that hand-eye coordination or the perseverance to stick with it. The first time I tried to play Halo was Halo 2, and I got myself an Xbox and sat down and said, okay, well, you got to learn how to, you know, see what this is all about. And in Halo 2, Master Chief is in this room. You know, you have the initial cinematic, and then he's in a room trying to get out to begin battle.
Sure.
I couldn't get him out of the room. And I kept looking around, and, you know, in the screen, it was like something that says exit, or a finger going this way, go this way. And I couldn't find any of that, and I gave up. So I've had a couple of, when I make appearances, one of the rules is that I do not play the game. So I don't dress up as the character, and I don't play the game. And the very first appearance I ever made, those were my two rules to do that. And it was a GameStop that was opening down in Fort Lauderdale, I think. And they invited me down, and I said, yeah, but I don't play the game, and I don't dress up as the character. Well, they ignored the don't play the game part, and they had a contest, unbeknownst to me, the winner of which was going to play me at Halo. And I said, dude, I told you, I don't play the game. This is not going to, it's going to be disappointing for whoever thinks they're going to be playing, some expert pro gamer. And he said, don't worry about it. We've rigged it. We actually have a professional guy, professional gamer, professional Halo player, sort of behind the screen, who's really going to be, you'll have a dummy controller and he'll have the real one. And that's who this person's going to play. So this 11-year-old girl wins the right to play me at Halo. And even with the pro gamer back there, the two of us lasted about 11 seconds before this girl sort of cleaned our clock. And, one of the more humbling experiences of my life is being looked at by an 11-year-old girl going, you're Master Chief? Really? Turns out, I find out, actually not too long ago, this girl, who was 11 at the time, went on to become a professional Halo player. And I don't recall her name, but I think she did quite well in the circuit. So it was at least I was beat by somebody who was really good.
That is a remarkable story. But yeah, obviously the franchise has gone on to sell millions of dollars, and there's a new Xbox console launching, and Halo Infinite is coming out sometime next year. I assume you've done the voice work for that already.
We're pretty much done. As a matter of fact, I'm doing something tomorrow. For the game, I don't really know the specifics, and even if I did, I couldn't tell you.
Sure.
But yeah, it's been pushed back. The COVID thing just slowed us up so much that it certainly slowed us up from a voiceover standpoint, although we were able to work around that. But there were so many other moving parts that just prohibited us, getting the thing done when we wanted it to get done, which was basically now. And that just was not going to happen. So, yeah, sometime next year.
Is there any kind of state of mind you try to put yourself into when you voice this character? Because Master Chief is the type of person that, he's solemn, he's quiet, he doesn't pal around a lot, he just gets the job right. Done. Is there anywhere you go to mentally to achieve that?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to explain, but it is really a thought process, and it's really a, sort of an internal conversation. And I think any actor who is preparing for a role, especially if it's a recurring role, which this has been for me, you need to get yourself in a state of mind. So like I said, tomorrow I'm going to be doing some work, and I've already sort of begun the process of stepping into his shoes, and which I actually literally do. And this goes back to when I did Combat Evolved. I have an old pair of cowboy boots that were old when Combat Evolved came out. So they're really old now. But I had a voiceover teacher who told me once that, you use anything at your disposal to get yourself into character, whether it's a hat or a phrase that you might repeat to yourself, or a shirt or whatever, to, sort of be a physical manifestation of where you want to be. And for me, it was this whole pair of cowboy boots, which I think I happened to be wearing coincidentally the first session that I did for Combat Evolved. So they have been that's sort of the thing that triggers me to get into his head and get ready for the role. So by the time I go into the studio, I'm already there, and then it's easier to inhabit him, if you will.
Very cool. I promised I wouldn't keep you very long, so I do just have one more question for you. And that is back to Halo Infinite. You're working a little bit more on it tomorrow, as you said. What comes next? No spoilers, but has Microsoft implied to you in any way if there's going to be a follow-up to this, or do they kind of contact you on a game-by-game basis?
Well, it's pretty much a need-to-know basis.
Okay.
And I don't need to know yet. But as I say quite often these days, the only thing I can tell you is that I think the future for Halo and for Halo fans is in fact Infinite.
So again, thank you to Steve Downes, Halo's Master Chief, for joining us on the Geek Cave podcast, and also thanks for the recommendation, Steve, of the band Little Feet. Something that I'll have to track down because I'm not familiar. Justin, do you have any idea who Little Feet are?
It rings a bell, but off the top of my head, no. But I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, and I also absolutely love the story about the 11-year-old girl beating Master Chief in a video gaming contest. That's just the best. It's the absolute best. Again, a big thank you to Steve. So, a lot of stuff to talk about. Extra Life is coming up. And since we just had Steve on, we are adding the Halo Master Chief Collection on Xbox One to our giveaways.
Nice.
All you have to do is donate at geekcavepodcast.com, click on the Extra Life link, or go to extra-life.org and search for the podcast, and you can find it there. A donation of any amount will get you in on any of the prize drawings this year. We don't have a big major prize. It's 2020, and did try. But, you know, we do have a lot of great prizes. We got some digital movie downloads. We got some gift cards from GameStop and from Amazon. We do have a Blu-ray of Superman, Man of Tomorrow, the new animated film that just came out. And now we've got the Halo Master Chief Collection. And if you donate 40 or more, is that right, Justin?
Yes.
40 or more. And you'll get a sketch of your favorite comic book or cartoon character from our own beloved Justin White. And
they're not worth $40, but it's for the kids.
The sentimental
your
value.
Your time is.
Yeah. And the sentimental value alone is easily worth $35.
I should really hold up the picture I got to the microphone.
Oh, yes.
So that our listeners can see it.
Yeah, really, it is. Okay, so just for clarification. It is, we are recording this in late September of 2020. This is going up onto the internet waves in October of 2020. I just got Chad his sketch from last year's Extra Life.
It'll take a while.
No, this one I put off for my own selfish reasons.
Okay.
Because I didn't want to screw it up. I was scared.
But it is a full-sized blueprint reproduction of one of Wile E. Coyote's plans to get the Roadrunner.
Yeah. Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's 20 inches by 30 inches.
Wow.
On blue paper.
Now, that's a special order. You can't just request that with
Chad requested for me to, you know, recreate one of the blueprints, and I thought, well, it's Chad. And I'm not getting him a birthday gift this year, so I'll just go over and above. The sketches you receive will be on, you know, paper size paper.
12 by 10.
12 by 10 or something like that. You know, mostly just paper on pencil on paper. Pencil on paper. No coloring unless it is something that it will only be recognizable with the addition of color. Like, I did a She-Hulk 1 year.
Yeah.
And before I add the color, I'm like, this could just be a female weightlifter. Color her green. Now it's She-Hulk.
Yeah.
That was the exception to the rule.
Yeah, thanks for the donation, Carly. But, yeah.
Absolutely.
Extra Life, one of the top-rated charities on Charity Navigator. Not a dime, not a penny goes anywhere else but to the hospitals that we are raising this money for. And we really do. We appreciate the support we've already gotten. We appreciate the support every year. And we really do appreciate your support. Even if all you do is share the website and share the link with someone else.
Absolutely.
It gets just it in front of someone else's eyes. Yeah, that's all we ask. All right. So, a lot of gaming news to talk about. Sony, as you know, they're like the home of some really major exclusives. The PlayStation 5 and the Xbox Series, whatever, are coming out in November. I'll get into the pre-order debacle in a minute. But so a lot of people are like, well, I'm going PlayStation because they got all these great exclusives. And then Microsoft, Microsoft is just like, you really like Skyrim and Dishonored and Doom, huh? Well, we're just going to buy that company now.
So, Darren, do you realize what's happened?
What?
The dude figured out another way to sell Skyrim.
Yes, Todd Howard figured out another way to sell Skyrim. He sold it to Microsoft.
I mean, PlayStation, Xbox, console, Switch,
yeah,
Alexa, VR, and now just selling the...
Just sell the whole dang thing. But it's a big get for Microsoft because now all Bethesda titles day one will be on Game Pass, which makes it another absurd deal. And I think Microsoft's really pushing that, especially with the digital version of the next Xbox, where they're just like, just get Game Pass and you'll have more than 100 titles right there at your fingertips. And as someone who uses Game Pass, I agree. It's great. I still prefer physical media, but man, Game Pass is a really sweet deal. And they've also said that any exclusive deals that were made before the acquisition will be a thing. So Microsoft will be publishing some PS5 exclusives,
right?
Which is a little weird. But as for Skyrim, as for Fallout, as for Dishonored, as for Doom... that's going to be a case-by-case basis, son.
Well, and so the planned exclusives, it makes sense.
Yeah.
So much of that work is already done.
True.
It would be a waste of money to not finish them out and publish them the way they were.
Yeah.
And quite honestly, Microsoft, no dummies in this regard.
No.
I don't think they're actually going to have straight-up exclusives out of this acquisition. What they're going to have is they're going to have timed exclusives.
That's most likely.
It's going to be a straight up, hey, Fallout 5 is going to be, or five and a half.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Five.
What are we calling Fallout 76?
Didn't happen.
Besides a mistake. So Fallout 5, it's coming to Xbox in 2023, and to PS5. You know, PS5 in 2024 or whatever.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, that's probably
what
will happen.
And I'm saying that it's probably going to happen, even though I have no proof and no sources that say that. We've said it on the Cave.
Well, hey, Power of the Geek Cave. We say something and then it ends up happening. So there you go.
So 2023, I'm perfectly fine with the Fallout 5 by then.
All right. There we go. You heard it here first. Mark it down. The pre-orders didn't go great for either console.
no, they did not.
Pre-orders hardly ever... After the generation with the Wii, pre-orders have not really been smooth anywhere, but this year was it was really bad. Sony, back in June, said, we're going to give you plenty of time. We are not just going to, like, surprise, stealth launch pre-orders or anything like that. So let's cut to September.
Yeah,
Sony has a reveal. They finally tell us what the price of the PS5 and the release date, November 12th, all that stuff. And then that's it. That's the end of the presentation. So people are like, "What? Oh, okay, well, when do we get to pre-order?" And Jeff Keighley, not Sony, Jeff Keighley of the Game Awards, tweets out, "Oh yeah, pre-orders are going to be going live tomorrow." And then Sony, you know, retweets it like, "Yeah." And then Walmart says, "No, they're not. They're live now." Because Walmart is one of those retailers that they can get away with it. What's Sony going to do? Not sell the PS5 at Walmart? So Walmart breaks the street date. Everybody else breaks the street date. And by the time actual pre-orders are supposed to start, they're sold out.
Yep.
Woof.
Damn.
Yeah. Microsoft took the opportunity to throw a little shade at them. They tweeted out, yeah, here's the release date. Here's the price. Here's the exact time pre-orders are going live, and don't worry, we won't go early. which, you know, to be fair, Microsoft being, you know, the underdogs a little bit in this whole debacle, since, like, they didn't do well comparatively in this current generation. PlayStation 4 and the Switch just annihilated them sales-wise. Microsoft then goes and they do their pre-sales, and again, there's problems. They sold out rather fast, but it was plagued by retailer websites going down, Microsoft's own website going down. It was a mess. And a lot of this has to do with bots. And you'll hear people mention those on other gaming websites. Basically, software that is designed to, at a moment's notice, search a website instantaneously for a very specific item. And they've usually been used for shoes, of all things. Sneakers, like sneaker collections. And Funko Pops. But now they're branching into the world of video games. And there are people that are buying these in the dozens and then quickly selling them on eBay to try to make a quick profit.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's a big problem. The only place I found where it went well, besides GameStop, GameStop had like a queue system where like you had to literally wait in line online and then you could get one.
Mm-hmm.
Is Sony sent emails to certain PlayStation Network members so they could sign up for a pre-order, and then they would be notified if they were chosen. It was one of those things where they looked at a whole bunch of merits, and that went well, from my understanding, buying it directly from Sony. I think that next generation, like 7 years from now, when we're talking about this again, if God willing, we're still doing this 7 years from now, I think that Microsoft and Sony just need to do that. They just need to sell them directly. And they need to have some kind of, not a CAPTCHA, because even a robot can click a box that says, I'm not a robot, but something, because these resellers are getting out of control.
You do realize that by that point, the resellers are going to do basically what the auto industry did, and it's going to be against the law to buy it directly from the company.
Probably.
You're going to have to go through distributorships.
Probably. That'll probably
happen.
That's
how you have to get pretty much comic books now.
Yeah,
that's dumb, but you're probably
Thanks,
right.
Diamond.
So I managed to get a PS5 pre-order. I'm waiting on the Xbox. Mostly because the big, as we covered in the interview with Steve Downs, the big exclusive is pushed back to 2021 with Halo Infinite. So we'll see on that front. Nintendo pulling the Disney Vault trick with Super Mario 3D All-Stars, you know, and a lot of their 35th anniversary stuff for Mario.
Mm-hmm.
They've got Mario 35, which is kind of like Tetris 99 on the Switch. It's multiplayer. It's like Mario Battle Royale. It's fun. It looks fun. But it's only going to be available till mid-April. It looks like all of these, like Mario 3D All-Stars, which is 64, Sunshine and Galaxy, is available physically and digitally on the Switch right now until April. Even the digital one of a title that they own all the rights to, they're going to stop selling as of April. It really reeks like either investor kind of fiscal year shenanigans, or it's the same crap that Disney pulls. Are we going to have like a Nintendo Plus in a few months?
Yep.
Great.
I'm just going to throw out as many predictions as I can just to see how many of them stick.
You know, if you get all
Nostradicus.
I was going to say Nostradamus, but yeah, that works too.
You know, if you get at least 75% of these right, we're getting you like a fortune teller turban and we're doing like a photo shoot.
Okay.
All right.
Just use a towel.
Well, that's what we did in another project, so yeah, we'll just do that.
I have no recollection of what you're referring to.
That's fine. I remember, and so does the internet.
Unfortunately, the internet doesn't forget anything.
I remember a smooth face. It was awful.
This is going to be the longest gaming segment on record. I've got three reviews. So, what do you guys have?
Well, Minecraft's now available to play on PlayStation VR.
Okay.
You still use the DualShock instead of the Move controllers. You change your camera by turning your head, but if you want to turn your body, you have to use the controller to do it, which is kind of jaggy.
Weird.
So after about a half hour, I was nauseous and had to take a nap. But that being said, they finally found a way to make me appreciate the scale of the world.
Okay.
Because you don't think about, you know, a block coming up to your waist when you're playing first person on the TV, you know, that's 8 feet away. But when you're standing next to the block and it's coming up to your waist, it's like, holy crap. Steve's a beast.
So, I gotta ask, creepers in VR.
Say what? Creepers in VR?
Yeah. How are those?
They're not as scary as you might think.
Okay.
Spiders, on the other hand, holy crap. When they drop down on you in the caves, holy crap, man. Because the spider is now the size of you.
Well, I would think that, like, that's how it is for Skyrim VR too, right? When you fight the giant spiders.
I have not played Skyrim VR. I couldn't get past the opening dragon sequence without almost vomiting from motion sickness.
I see. Okay, fair enough.
So, unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to speak to that one.
Justin, you been doing any trolling on Reddit recently?
Well, thank you for asking, Darren. As many of you know, I don't get to play games much, but I do have a wide breadth of knowledge that I think is helpful to the gamer. And so I've been going through the subreddit Ask Games and finding questions that I think I think need to be answered in a forum such as this. So this month's question is, what are some games on Steam that I can run on my school laptop without needing the admin password? You can't. You need to hack that shit. And if you don't know how, that's fine. Every school has that kid. You know the kind I mean. You don't need to make friends with him. Just have a lot of cash on hand. Once you get in, why stop there? Get into the school's grading system and make sure you pass. Don't go too wild. Just tweak it enough just so you pass. You were totally going to do the work anyway, right? Now you have more time for games.
That's useful information, Justin. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Completely unrelated disclaimer. The Geek Cave podcast takes no legal responsibility for any advice that is given during the
Why
show.
Why does everybody say that after I open my mouth in this segment?
You know, it's just it's just something we have to do. So I played three games this month. It was a busy month for me.
Yeah, how was Maneater?
Okay, I played four games.
give us some details about Maneater. It sounds amazing.
All right, it does. It does sound amazing. That's the problem.
So chew you up.
You play as a shark, right? And
shark doo 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 doo. Darren shark doo doo.
Yeah, get it all out. Yeah. So
Darren shark.
I felt like Left Shark playing this game. You start off and you're like prime sharkness. I mean, you're like grabbing people and you're using this tail whip to like shoot them hundreds of feet away. You know, you're eating everything in sight. You're attacking a boat full of shark hunters. And in between, you're getting little cutscenes of what looks like the best way I can describe this as if Discovery Channel's Shark Week had a baby with the Tiger King. Yeah.
Okay.
Because, you know, the narrator sounds like someone straight out of like a normal documentary, but then the host of the show is this big burly guy who, you know, is like, "Sharks got my daddy. I'm going to get all the sharks." That kind of thing. And so he catches you and he kills you and he rips your baby out and tosses the baby into the sea, but not before the baby takes his hand with it. So now we've got a Captain Hook scenario on our hands. And the rest of the game you play as the offspring, who eventually gets bigger and bigger the more you eat and the more you level up, blah, blah, blah. And here's where the problems begin. Because once all of that power is ripped away from you and you realize all that power has been ripped away from you and you're now just this scrawny baby shark, do-do-do-do-do-do, it's not fun anymore. You can get killed by fish, guys. You can get killed by fish. You're a shark. You can't. It's so hard to find just like the first checkpoint. They've got the spot on the map. You swim around for a while, and oh, it's because of a glitch. You can't find the cave. You have to like leave the whole area and die, and then come back, and then you can find that. Not a good first impression. Early on, I ended up running afoul of alligators on my second mission, and I couldn't get past it. So it's one of those games that is fascinating in concept. It's like if Echo the Dolphin didn't suck, and then it ended up sucking anyway. So yeah, Maneater, no bueno. I'm glad that I got it through Gamefly, because I could send it back very quickly and they'd get something I actually wanted to play, which was Marvel's Avengers on PS4.
Ooh.
This game has a bit of a bad rap. A lot of people are saying, oh, it's not that great, it's grindy. Let me lay it out for you. If Destiny is a Mamorpagus, massively multiplayer online role-playing game shooter, then Avengers is a Mamorpagud Arbaga, which is a Mamorpaga, but also an action role-playing game. And that there's an entire single-player campaign. You don't have to play any online, which is good.
Yeah, and that's good.
And it follows, it really kind of revolves around Kamala Khan, who, as you might remember, way back, she won one of our Golden Justins for, like, best comic character in the year she debuted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's a fantastic character. Kamala Khan, getting some criticism online for being essentially the MCU version of Peter Parker, but I would argue that the MCU version of Peter Parker is Kamala Khan. It's a fanboy slash girl who meets one of the Avengers and is just absolutely nerding out at everything possible. It's Tom Holland. But you follow the story of something happens to the Avengers. I don't want to spoil anything. And the Avengers are blamed for this catastrophe. And Ms. Marvel has to reunite the team and reassemble them because she's found a greater conspiracy is underfoot.
Hmm.
And the gameplay's fine. I mean, it's your standard action beat-em-up kind of third-person superhero game. The combat isn't as intricate as, you know, the Batman series. It's a lot more button-mashy friendly. But the story is compelling enough where my wife, who does not play these types of games, is now working on her own file. And she's about a third of the way through. My big criticism is the gear system. You can do side missions and stuff to earn currency, to get more gear, to make your characters stronger, yada, yada, yada. But there's also a lot of stuff that you either have to play with folks online for hours to unlock, or you can slip Sony a $20 bill or Microsoft or whatever, and then you can unlock that stuff right away. But it's all cosmetic as far as that stuff goes. Normal gear that boosts your character that you earn through gameplay.
Okay.
It's just the cosmetic stuff that you have to buy. And you don't even have to buy them. You don't have to buy anything. So
I'm okay with that then.
Yeah.
Cosmetic stuff, I care less.
Yeah. I would say this game is probably an 8 Hulks out of 10. You know, it's not the greatest superhero game ever made, but it's certainly really, really... It's better than the critics are giving it credit for, or at least a lot of the online people are.
Clarification, Darren, is that 8 Hulk Smash Hulks or 8 Brother Smash, you know, Hulks?
Whatever the good one is.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah,
Brother Smash.
Good. It's good. And Hulk is probably one of the most fun characters to play as in the game. So
that's usually the case.
Yes. Oh, and there's a bunch of DLC coming later, but you can find that info online. Kingdoms of Amalur Re-Reckoning is out, and your mileage may vary depending on where you're playing it. PS5, pretty smooth experience.
PS5 isn't out yet, Darren.
PS4, pretty smooth experience. PS5,
what
probably
are you trying to tell us?
It'll probably be a smooth experience on the 5 as well. It'll be backwards compatible.
You know the power of the Geek Cave. He said it. It will happen.
Man.
Xbox, however... I got about, I want to say, 8 to 10 hours into my Xbox One run when I realized I hadn't earned any achievements. Why is that? Because they forgot to patch them in. So they issued a patch. They issue a patch. What's the problem?
You got to restart?
I have to restart the game.
Oh, man. All that sweet gamer score lost.
Yeah, I restarted the game, and yeah, it's been fine since then. And it got a minor graphical bump, but it's basically the same game that Chad and I have absolutely gushed over time and time again, except it has all the DLC with new DLC coming next year. So if you're interested in what is certainly an interesting footnote in gaming history, if nothing else, because of the whole thing surrounding it, including the state of Rhode Island, for God's sake, then, yeah, you want to pick up Kingdoms of Amalur: Re-Reckoning. I think it's already on. I think it's already being discounted on Steam if you're a PC gamer. So
I would love to. However, all of the places that sell games near me, they were only available as pre-orders, and they got no extra copies.
Yeah, you'll either have to order online or just wait. It'll show back up in stock. I mean, there's been some strong sales for it.
Yeah.
All right. Wow. We are more than 30 minutes into this segment. It's time.
Don't worry. Tomorrow I don't have much to talk about.
Yeah. It's time for the main events. Kent?
It was created by a madman. Ignored and rejected. Every week it grows. We cannot kill it, for it does not live. Step fast and be wary, or you may fall victim to Darren's Pile of Shame.
You know, some video games are masterpieces. Some video games are popcorn flicks. Some video games are Maneater. Metal Gear
Solid. Did you know Maneater only comes out at night?
Is that right?
Yeah.
The game that I played this month is probably a combination between masterpiece and pure popcorn flick. But for a change, it's a good game that I played for my POS review. I played Metal Gear Solid: The Twin Snakes. For those of you who are unfamiliar, this is a remake of the original Metal Gear Solid using the Metal Gear Solid 2 engine, but exclusively to the Nintendo GameCube. It's also an exceedingly rare game because it has never been reprinted or republished. Nintendo won't re-release it. Konami won't re-release it. And apparently, the deal with this game is that Konami couldn't do any other HD remakes of Metal Gear Solid 1. So if you want something that looks better than, you know, squares moving around, this is what you got. The point of the storyline is, this was before Metal Gear got weird, guys. And it was weird even then. A bunch of terrorists take over a military base in Alaska. They're threatening to launch a nuke. And the government sends in one guy, Solid Snake, to stop him. Throughout the course of the adventure, you encounter a man who wields crows as weapons, as well as a giant, you know, railgun. You encounter a guy who has psychic abilities who you can confuse by switching the controller port on your console, and thus he can't read your mind anymore. There is a female sniper with a heart of gold who also really likes wolves. And the main bad... Oh, and of course there's also some guy who I think is supposed to be Russian, but sounds instead like he's like a gruff guy from the Midwest, and he really likes twirling a handgun around until he loses that hand. But the main event is, surprise, your clone twin brother, who sounds nothing like you and doesn't really look all that like you, but they say you're identical, so just go with it.
So it's the Arnold Schwarzenegger, Danny DeVito situation.
Not quite to that extent, but yes.
Because I had a hard time telling them apart.
Well, I mean, it was so eerie.
Yeah.
If you caught my Geek Cave plays on this game, you'll know that I'm not great at stealth games.
I watched the same level about 4 times, and then I had work that had to be done, so I had to turn that off. Yeah. Because it turns out that while working, I really should not yell at the screen until my throat bleeds.
But I promise I got better at the game. It just took me a while to kind of relearn the controls, because my copy of the Twin Snakes doesn't have a control manual. And back when they included instruction manuals, and the game really assumes that you have the instruction manual. They say stuff like, press the action button. Okay, cool. Wait. So, you know, It's definitely a product of its time. This feels like a game that was issued in the 90s and then remade in 2004 because it is a game that was made in the 90s and remade in 2004. There's a lot of stuff that has been added to the franchise that is not there now. For example, I can't walk or I can't move while ducking if I try to, you know, like, you know, lower your head and just kind of duck walk or whatever. And now it's just immediately like you lay flat on your belly and it takes a while. So I guess they're going for realism in that if I were really to lay down and then try to get up quickly, it would take me about as long as it takes Solid Snake, which is forever. But and there's plenty of that Metal Gear humor that is interspersed in, along with somehow, even today, a relevant topic, conversation point here and there about, you know, nuclear disarmament and the state of politics. And there's some political intrigue that gets mixed in. And it makes it this weird kind of hodgepodge of, like I said, kind of a spy thriller mixed with a dumb Expendables-type popcorn flick. Is it perfect? No. A lot of fans hated the remake because of added cutscenes and the addition of first-person aiming mode so you can shoot enemies better. I, being a 38-year-old man who had not played this game since it released in 2004, love first-person aiming mode because it allowed me to actually complete the damn game. Yeah, it's not perfect. It's not a perfect recreation of Metal Gear Solid 1, nor I don't think it was intended to be. But for what it is, a nice time capsule back before the Metal Gear franchise became super bloated. And note that I say that when this game itself has 20-minute cutscenes. But super...
20 minutes of cutscenes or cutscenes that are 20 minutes long?
The latter.
Oh, my. Oh.
But that's nothing compared to Metal Gear Solid 4 with a... I think I clocked it at like an hour cutscene at one point. So... it's before Metal Gear got even more bloated. It's simply a good game that it's unfortunate has not been re-released. I know a lot of people want the original Metal Gear Solid re-released, but I can't play with squares anymore. I need something that vaguely looks like a human being. So, I would say play it. It's not worth...
if you can get it.
If you can get it. Right now, used copies in acceptable condition are running about $70 on eBay. So, good luck. But if you can find it, and if you can find it for an affordable price, pick it up. Because it is definitely, definitely a very good game. That's all I have. Do you guys have anything else?
I only wish I did.
No?
Yeah, well, we've gone long enough. Apologize to everybody for taking so long. But, hey, we had Master Chief on the show. So... I don't know what more you people want other than maybe to win a prize, which you could if you donate to our Extra Life campaign, geekcavepodcast.com, and just click on Extra Life at the top. Don't forget our other podcasts, You Want Me to Watch What, and our sporadic appearances of Geek Cave Chat, as well as Retromantics and Geek Cave Plays on YouTube. And oh, by the way, tomorrow, a new episode of Geek Cave Movies. And you can find us anywhere you can find great podcasts, including now on the new Amazon Music streaming app. So another feather in our cap, and thank you to Amazon for allowing us to be part of your service. Until next time.